Welcome to Torah from JTS, a weekly commentary from the Jewish Theological Seminary.
This is Benjamin Summer, a professor of Bible and ancient Semitic languages at the Jewish Theological Seminary, with a commentary for Parashat Naso. The final verse of Parashat Naso is easy to miss. It comes after a long passage that describes the gifts the leader of each tribe presented at the structure known as the tabernacle or tent of meeting in the wilderness. 12 times we read 6 verses listing the exact same set of items donated from each tribe. The substantial amount of repetition in this passage may lead readers to lose some focus. But Numbers 7:89, the verse that comes right after those 12 sets of 6 verses, is highly significant. It provides crucial information about the nature of revelation as understood by the Kohanim, or priests, who wrote this section of the Torah. Numbers 7:89 describes what takes place between God and Moses at the tent of meeting. In doing so, this verse uses an unusual verb that I'll leave untranslated for now as I quote the verse. The verse says, "When Moses came to the tent of meeting to speak with him, he heard the voice midabering to him from above the covering that was on top of the Ark of the Covenant from between the two Keruvim, and he spoke to him." To understand what the Torah tells us about God's way of talking to Moses in this verse, we need to realize that the word our verse uses for God speaking, midaber, is quite rare. It is related to another verb that means speak, midaber, which appears over 1,000 times in the Bible. But the verb midaber shows up only 3 or 4 times in the entire Bible. The grammatical construction of the verb as it appears in our verse is known as the hitpael, whereas the much more frequent construction, midaber, is known as a pael verb. The hitpael construction carries several types of meaning. It describes a reciprocal action, that is, action that goes back and forth between two parties. In modern Hebrew, for instance, the verb mitkatev, correspond or exchange mail, is an example of this use of the hitpael verb. If midaber conveys that sort of meaning in our verse, then it refers to communication that moves back and forth between God and Moses. In this case, the priestly author of our verse is telling us that the revelation of the law was not just a top-down affair. It involved some degree of dialogue between God and Moses. This conception of revelation fits well with 5 other priestly passages in the Torah, where Moses and the Israelites request clarification from God on specific points of law, and God responds by producing new legislation that answers the questions they ask. This priestly picture of lawgiving as being at least in part dialogical, as involving some sort of human input and not just divine decree, may be indicated in our verse through the hitpael verb it uses. Additional possibilities exist as well. Sometimes the hitpael construction conveys ongoing action, which suggests that we can translate our verb, "He would hear the voice continually speaking to him," or "He would hear the voice as it went on speaking to him." This understanding is suggested by the modern biblical commentators Baruch Levine and Everett Fox. Further, the construction often conveys reflexive meaning. That is, it describes an action that people do to themselves. This possibility leads Rashi to suggest that this voice would speak to itself and Moses would hear on his own. That is, at the tent, Moses somehow attained access to God's internal ruminations. These various meanings are not mutually exclusive. It's possible that all of them, or several of them, are implied at once in Numbers chapter 7, verse 89. By choosing this rare hitpael verb to explain what took place when God communicated with Moses, our text suggests that this communication was not a simple matter of speaking in the way that humans speak. A voice that entails both giving and taking information, or one that allows for continuous rather than punctual communication, or for overhearing internal dialogue, is not a voice speaking in any normal sense of the word. The phrasing of our verse indicates that its description applies to all the times God communicated laws to Moses. It informs us that whatever communication transpired when Moses went to the tent differs from what happens when one human talks to another human. In its own subtle and elusive way, then, Numbers 7:89 is making a significant theological claim similar to the one that Maimonides would much later expound in his classic work, The Guide of the Perplexed. God doesn't literally speak, and whenever the Torah refers to God as speaking, we need to understand that something much more complex and mysterious was occurring. This sense is especially strong in one other possible meaning of our verb. The hitpael construction can denote simulation. That is, it can be used when the subject of the verb acts as if he were doing something. For example, in 2 Samuel chapter 13, verse 5, the verb mitchale means to pretend to be sick. In Genesis 42:7 and 1 Kings 14:5-6, the verb mitnaker means act like a stranger. If our verse employs this sense of the hitpael construction, then our narrative is indicating that speaking is not something that the deity really does. And whenever the narrator attaches the verb speak to the subject God, it intends something different from that verb's usual meaning. God's speaking, and I would put this word in scare quotes here, is something that only a prophet has experienced, and therefore something for which no word exists among us non-prophets who make up the Torah's audience. My reference to scare quotes a moment ago may be exactly what the priestly authors of our passage intend when they use the strange hitpael form of this verb. It reminds us that God's speaking is not really speaking at all. In that case, Matan Torah, or lawgiving, did not involve God literally pronouncing or writing the words we find in the Torah. God's command to the nation Israel were not conveyed in language, and one of the most important roles played by Moses, by the prophets who came after him, and by the sages who succeeded the prophets, has been to translate God's communications into human terms. The process of parshanut, or interpretation, then, did not begin after the revelation of the Torah. Instead, interpretation was part of the ongoing dialogical process of revelation itself. Interpretation is not only an activity that is performed on the Torah. Interpretation helped create the Torah. We read each day in the paragraph that precedes the Shema in the morning service that all Jews have the responsibility of studying and teaching the law, fulfilling it and guarding it. When we do so, we continue Moses' work. By studying and interpreting the law, we contribute to the ongoing process of creating the law anew. Since we celebrated the holiday of Shavuot, the season of the giving of the law, earlier this week, now is a good time to think about this lesson from this little noticed but highly important verse that concludes this week's parasha. Shabbat Shalom.
If you enjoyed this program, please rate and review it on Apple Podcasts. And discover JTS's other series by visiting jtsa.edu/podcasts. To learn with JTS faculty in live online classes, visit jtsa.edu/online. And you can get in touch with us by emailing onlinelearning@jtsa.edu. Thanks for listening.